Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle. Gonna take a moment as we praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God has been so good this week, Lord. He's been so good. He has brought us to this house another day. And so we owe God the praise this morning. We owe God the praise. How many know that he didn't have to wake us up this morning? Amen. He didn't have to give us the working of our limbs. He didn't have to give us the working of our feet, but he did. And we are here another day. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'm encouraging us all to give the Lord the praise, to give the Lord the worship, to prepare your heart for him. Because sometimes, I'm telling you, we come in with so much stuff. My phone was buzzing off the hook this morning and all the distraction. But if we take the moment to put our phone on mute, turn our phone off and put our focus on the Lord, because he's worthy of our undivided attention, so he can work in us and we can hear what he wants to tell us, because he's drawing us closer to him. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just take a moment to settle our hearts, to settle our minds, to put our focus on him who is worthy, who went to the cross on our behalf and died for us, who died a criminal's death, who was tortured on our behalf, so that we can come into right relationship with God, so that we can come into right favor with God, so that we can become one with God. Just let that marinate on our hearts for a moment, that we have a living relationship with God the Father through Christ. And that's not something that we can take lightly. Thank you. I just want to give a moment for the Lord to saturate the atmosphere, to saturate our hearts, so that we can get worship right today. It's a new season, and it's got to be right in us. Amen. Amen. A season of excellence must begin in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to invite you all to stand as we go to the throne of prayer. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we stand at the door this morning, God. On the threshing floor, God. And Lord, we ask you, God, this morning, Lord, to usher us in to the holies of holy, God. Father, we want to encounter your presence, oh God. We want to experience you, God, like we have never before. God, we want to go deeper in with you, oh God. And Lord, you're waiting on us to get it right, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So this morning, God, we ask that you will usher us in this morning, oh God, that we can get what we need, God. That you can minister to our hearts, God, and minister to our hurting places, oh God, and minister to every area of our life, God, that you desire, Lord Jesus. Father, we won't quench your spirit this morning, oh God, but Lord, we give you full reign, oh God, to reign in this place, oh God, to move in this place, oh God. Father, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would send forth your reign, oh God, that you would send forth the latter rains, oh God, that you would send forth your Holy Spirit, oh God, to move in a way, God, that we can feel it and taste it and smell it, God. That you are just that close to us, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we know that you desire to do great things in our life, God. And we surrender, God. And we just say yes, Lord Jesus. We say yes, oh God, to your will. We say yes to your way. We say yes to you, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Have your way, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, God, that you will move in such a way that only you can, oh God. And Lord Jesus, we await for you, Jesus. Father, we're waiting for you, oh God. We are waiting for you, Jesus. We want to be found in a place, oh God, where we are waiting for you, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God, fill this place with your presence, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Fill this place with your presence, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Fill this place with your presence, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We'll be so careful to cherish it, oh God. We'll be so careful, God, to protect it, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank you in advance, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank you in advance, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank you in advance, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you in advance, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Until the water breaks forth, God, until your spirit breaks forth, God, we pray forth, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, O God. Glory to your name, O God. Glory to your name, O God. Glory to your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Oh, we bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, we roll out the red carpet for your presence this morning, God. We're hungry for your presence, oh God. We're thirsty for your presence, oh God. We're thirsty for your presence, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Let the waters flow, God. Let the living waters flow, God. Break forth in this place, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we bless your name, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we give reverence to you, Lord Jesus. There's nobody like you, God. Hallelujah, God. And, Lord, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, God. Ignite that fire in us, God, that we can continue in you, Lord Jesus, that we can run in you, God, that we can soar to higher heights in you, God. Oh, Jesus, do it today, God. We're desperate for more of you, God. Glory to your name, Jesus. Oh, God, we bless your name, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, God, we pray all these things in the name of the Father. In the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. While you're still standing, the scripture this morning is Ephesians verse 9 through 11, and I'll be reading the New Living Translation. Amen. And the word reads, God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. So this morning, I'm encouraging us all to tap in. I'm going to call up praise and worship. Y'all can get ready. Amen. But we're going to tap in this morning. What's going to happen if we all get on one accord? Amen.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me?
It's amazing. He calls me friend.
Amen, amen. Are you a friend of God? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Oh, bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God. While you're standing, let's go to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Genesis. If you are unable to find Genesis, I'm going to invite you to go to the church down the street and go in either direction. You'll hit a church there. You'll hit a church there. I'm going to go into the book of Genesis, the second chapter. We're going to continue our sermon series, Life in the Garden of God. And it's found right here in the second chapter of Genesis. Today I'm going to take it easy on you, just going to look at two verses, 16 and 17, as our primary text. And then we'll just jump over one chapter and add to the witness out of the third chapter, verses 20 through 24. Okay? Genesis, the second chapter, verses 16 and 17. We're just continuing our series, Life in the Garden of God. Verse 16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Amen? And just jump over one chapter, the third chapter. We'll pick it up at verse 20. "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics or coats of skin, and he clothed them. And then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. So now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And so he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." So all month we're talking about life in the Garden of God, and we're using the metaphor of a garden and the process of gardening to give us insights into our God that we may or may not have known. And so just based out of this short text, 16 and 17, I just want to talk this morning just for a few moments. Every garden has rules, right? If you know anything about garden, there's certain stuff you can and cannot do in the garden. If you want it to be a successful garden, you don't do whatever you want to do. But But if you want it to be a successful garden and produce a bountiful, there are things you can and cannot do. Every garden has rules. Therefore, every garden requires obedience. Again, if you want to have a successful garden, got to understand there are rules. As a result, every garden requires obedience. Are you with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we pray that your will be done not only in the earth, but that your will be done in our ground. Cause our ground to be changed, to turn into supernatural soil, that we might receive the seed, the word of God, into our ground, that that seed might grow and change and metamorphosize within us and spring up into something that is life-changing. And so we pray this morning, by the agency of your Holy Spirit, that you would let your word fall on good ground. Begin the process of changing us so that we are no longer conformed to this world, but by the power of the word of God, that we are changed into the image of God. So this is our prayer, and we ask it humbly in the name of your beloved Son, the Christ. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. As many of you know, my dad, among many things, my dad is a gardener. In fact, when we started our garden, when the team came to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, we want to turn that yard into a garden," you know, the very first thing I said, "Well, call my dad." I mean, that's outside of my jurisdiction. But if you're going to do anything related to gardening, call my dad, because my dad is a gardener. So, in light of last week's message, I hope you also realize that your God is also a gardener, right? Isn't that what we established last Sunday? God is a gardener, right? Because we got the witness right here. Genesis 2 and 8 says what? God planted a garden. God's a gardener. And because we are made in the likeness and image of God, if our spiritual father is a gardener, then what? We are too. You're more of a gardener than you think. I know many of us don't like to think of us in those terms and that way, but we really are. And as I've said to you over and over before, if you would embrace this imagery and this process of gardening, you will see and realize more about your God than you ever knew. More than studying his name in Hebrew and understanding the theology of God and all that stuff is good. But if you just get out in the garden, you see your God in a whole different way. One of the things that through the preaching of the word last week and also through the exercise of what we did, and let me stop there, and big shout out to everyone for last Sunday, right? You guys pulled it off in a grand fashion. Special thanks to each and everybody was doing something last Sunday. Thank you for all the planting that was done, the young men for cleaning up the trash all around the neighborhood. The kids were in there. Everybody just got in and got in. Yesterday was a big, last week was a huge, huge success. And so I owe you my appreciation for that, for everyone and your willingness to participate and get out and get the garden off to another great growing season. But the thing I wanted to highlight through the sermon, and the reason why we had the whole the big planting day, is I wanted to establish for you that every garden requires work, right? That was the whole point of everything we did last, everything I preached and everything we did out in the garden. It's to help us realize that in a garden, it requires work. Even in the garden of God, right? We pick up at 16 and 17, but if you look at it, verse 15 says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden. And what? Told him, go to work. It's your job now to tend and keep it. I'll call it to grow, but it's your job. You got work to do. You're not just going to sit in here and be on vacation for eternity. No, you got work to do. Even in Eden, right? I'm going somewhere. What is Eden? Remember, Eden is the what? The place prepared for you by God. Right? Are you with me? He placed, Genesis 1:1 said God created he made everything, right? And then out of all he created, he made what? A special place. He made all of this. But in the midst of all of this, he said, no, this is something special. And that's where I'm going to put Adam. Could have put him anywhere. But he put him in what? Eden. What? A place for him. And what made it special is not only was it made specifically for Adam, it was also made for God. We got the witness. Y'all looking at me funny. Y'all was so much better last Sunday. Y'all done regressed. I don't know what's going on. I thought we'd be down the road. And we know it was a place for God because what? The Bible tells us that God fellowshipped with Adam in the garden. So in order for God to fellowship in the garden, it had to be what? It had to be what? It had to be holy. God couldn't come in there if it wasn't holy, right? Had to be holy. So it was a special place, not only because it was made for Adam, but it was a special place because it was holy. The presence of God could dwell there. Right? And so, if you don't get anything, get this. God has a Eden for you. If you're a son of Adam, a daughter of Eve, God has an Eden for a special place for just you and him. And our job is to find it. Because he has it for us. Get to that place. A place that God has created for just you and him. Are you with me? So, okay, let me get down the road. So every garden requires work, right? And we established that last Sunday. This Sunday, what I want to establish is that every garden requires obedience, right? So going down with my dad in this garden, every garden has rules. So I told you my dad was a gardener, grew up, my dad always kept a garden behind the house forever. So when my dad would do the garden this time of year, he planted garden. My dad had one rule in his garden. Anybody know what that rule might have been? His one rule was this: stay out. One rule: stay out. You stay out. Keep your balls out. Keep your bats out.
Keep all, just stay out. He said, if you want to come in, he said, you can come in, but you're going to have to what? Work. Choice is yours. You decide what you want to do. You want to come in the garden? Fine. Work. If you don't want to work, stay. That was his only rule. Just stay out. He said, you got the yard. Y'all play. Do whatever you want. Just don't go in the garden. And when I was young, I couldn't appreciate it because I just thought, it's just your dad being your dad. Whatever. But the other Wednesday night, we had Chris Bolden Newsom on, and I told you about what he's doing over there in Southwest Philadelphia, which is amazing, with his farm. Me and my dad went to visit. He invited me, he said, I would come look over. And so we went, and he said this to me and my dad. We were going down to the farm, and as we got to the farm, we were going, he said, I want you guys to be careful. He said, as we go in the farm, he said, I want you to step where I step. He said, if I step here and move, he said, you step there. And he said, the reason I want you to do it, because if you're not careful where you walk in the garden, you might kill some of the life in the garden because you misstep. Something that seemed like nothing to you had life in it. Right? So he said, just step where I step. If I walk this way, walk that way. Don't carve your own path. He said, just follow me. Right? And that way, everything will be good. But if not, you may make a misstep and you may step on something, kill something, hamper something that was actually had life in it and was growing. Right? And so he said, he would say that. He would say, follow me. And so years later, I look back now, I can see why my dad would say, stay out. Because a lot of time in the early part of a garden, you can't see what's growing. Because so much of the growth is happening where? Underground. You can't see it. And so it just looks like a path of dirt to you. And so you step on it, you step around, never realize you could be killing what's underneath. Every garden requires obedience, right? Because you don't know what's happening in the ground, right? So I look back at my dad, I say, stay out, and you know, whatever. But it's funny, now I look at God in his garden. And similar to my dad, God had one rule in his garden. Wasn't stay out. His rule was, don't eat from this particular tree. That was, right? You tell me, am I in the Word of God? 16, Adam, do whatever you want, eat whatever you want, go wherever you want to do, whatever. 17, just don't bother this one tree. Every garden has rules. Therefore, every garden requires obedience. Are you with me? We used to sing one of the old hymns of the church. Trust and obey, right? If I heard the praise team, make me want to sing a little. Why? Because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Now you see why I'm the pastor and not the priest here. But to trust. Very similar. Life in God's garden. There's no other way to be happy but to trust and obey. You guys with me? All right, let me get down the road. Here it is. So verse 16, I just talked about it. He says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden you may freely eat. He said, it's all for your pleasure. You reread what we read last Sunday. He said, every tree were what was good for the sight and good to eat. Right? Nothing but good stuff in the garden of God. And he told Adam, he said, you got free reign over it. Right? I was thinking, reminiscing on my dad, but also Dr. Taylor used to tell me something as a young fella in church. She's always telling me, she said, God God wants you to have more, not less. She's always telling me that as a young fellow. He wants you to have more, not less. And I didn't really understand what she was talking about. And a lot of times, as you get older and mature, you begin understand that older people have a tendency to speak into your future. And that's why as a young person, you don't understand it. Because as a young person, you always think present. Right? You always think, give me some candy now. You know, that's just how a young person thinks, right? But old people have a tendency to speak into your future. John 10:10, Jesus says this. He says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Are you with me on that? Look at someone, just tell them God wants you to have more. God wants you to know that he has more for you in Eden. Right? This is God's word to you. This isn't make believe. God wants you to have more, right? I just gave you the witness. He's come that you might have life and have life what? More abundantly. But for us to experience the greater of what God has for us, we have to meet him in Eden. Got to meet him in the garden. Right? No, we used to sing the old church. We go to the garden in the evening. It's in the garden of prayer. Right? Right? God has more for you, but we have to go to the garden. Now 17. We get through 17 sermons over. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Let's look at this tree. Last Sunday, we looked at the tree of life. This Sunday, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was one of the two special trees planted by God in the garden. There was nothing magical about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you with me on that? Unlike the tree of life, which had supernatural properties associated with it. There was something magical about that tree. It had the ability to sustain humanity eternally. Right? Meaning that as long as Adam ate of it, he would never die. Right? Now we go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want to establish you, there was nothing special about this tree. Okay? But it was perhaps given this name because it was a test of obedience by which Adam and Eve were tried to determine if they would obey or disobey the commandment of God. Look at somebody and say, it's nothing but a test. That's all the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was. It was simply a test. Right? To see if they would what? Obey. Why? Because every garden requires what? If there was no tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, God would have no way to evaluate Adam's what? His obedience. He needed some way. All right. Maybe you don't know Adam. Let's deal with you. If there is no test or trial in your life, if there is no word of God in your life, how can God evaluate your obedience and faithfulness to him? Right? So you need a word from God to determine whether or not you will obey God's word. Are you with me? So it's there as a test. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil symbolized the all-powerful nature of God. And its fruit was forbidden to Adam and Eve. But the serpent suggested to them that by adding to their knowledge, the tree's fruit would make them, as Genesis 3:5 says, like God. There was nothing special about the tree. It was like every other tree in the garden, except the tree of life. It was just like every other tree. But it was there to test their obedience. But the serpent comes and suggested them that there is something special about this tree. He suggested, wait a minute, it's just like the other one. That one will give you eternal life. This one will make you like God. Are you with me? He said, all you got to do is eat of this, and then you will become like God. Right? It's only a test. The serpent comes. He takes advantage of it. Right? Begins to tell you it's more than a test. Right? And so this act of rebellion marked the entrance of sin into the world. The result of their rebellion, their sin, was quite different than what Adam and Eve expected. Instead of gaining superior knowledge that made them equal to God, they instead gained awareness or knowledge, if you will, of their own guilt, shame, condemnation, and nakedness. So instead of becoming like God, which the devil told them they would, they began to realize how far from God they really were. So instead of becoming closer to him, their sin, what? Separated them from him. Right? So instead of becoming closer, they become further away. And all because of their disobedience, right? Every garden has rules. Therefore, to enjoy life in God's garden, every garden requires what? All right? Now here it is. This is the conclusion right here. Philippians 2:8 says this. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. How many have heard that verse before? Familiar passage. Now let's work this one out. A little less familiar, but it's going to tie this whole thing together and then we're out of here. Romans 5:18-19. Turn there with me. Because this is the whole sermon right here. He now explains to us what's going on in his garden. Are you there? Romans 5th chapter, 18 and 19. Therefore, as through one man's offense, right? You see that? Which is meaning his disobedience. This one man, this is the first Adam. Judgment came to all men, resulting in what? Condemnation. That's how we know it's the first Adam. Condemnation. Why? Because they gained the knowledge that they were what? They were naked. They were ashamed. They were guilty in condemnation. Now, so you got that. Now, even so, through one man, right? Capital M. Right? We're back in Bible study class now. It's got a capital M, so it's got to be not talking about any man, but the man. Through one man's righteousness, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. Now, in parentheses, I'm going to work backwards to it. That free gift, eternal life. Right? The same eternal life that he had where? Back in the garden. Right? But when we read the witness, Genesis 3, 22 and all that we just read, he lost access, right, to what was once free to him. In the garden, he can eat from the tree of life whenever he wants, as often as he wanted, right? But now, because of his disobedience, we read that what? God had to put him out. Watch this. Everybody look up. Look at how good your God is. So at one point you say he kicks him out of the garden. Oh man, God's being hard on him. The reality is God is actually being merciful to him. Follow this. He eats of the tree of the knowledge, good and evil. He's now fallen into sin and he's now separated from God. And if you read that text, they have this conversation in heaven between the Trinity. And they say, Adam has become like us, meaning he now knows good and evil. Before, all Adam knew was good. Because all he knew is what God had created. And what God created, he himself has declared was what? Everything he made, he said, is good. And that's all Adam knew was what God created. So all Adam knew was good. But now through his disobedience, he now knows evil. Right? God knew good and evil, but he was not susceptible to evil. That's why the serpent couldn't tempt God. But his creation, he could. So God, now Adam sins. Now he's spiritually dead. And he's physically dying, right? Now that he's in sin, the Trinity says, let's keep him from eating again from the tree of life, because if he eats now, get this, he'll forever remain in sin. Do you follow that? Why? Because if he ate now that he knows good and evil, and he is evil now because of his disobedience, if he eats now, he will be sustained eternally in sin. This is what I was trying to sidebar you on last Sunday. This is the big picture of the Bible. God's already working out redemption. This is why the writers can say that the Lamb was slain from the foundation. God was working it out from the beginning. He didn't wait till it happened. They're like, oh my God, we got to come up with a plan. God had a plan already. And he said, let me get him out the garden now. Because if he eats now, he'll always remain in sin. But first, let me get him out the garden. At least I'll protect him from that. And then I'm going to keep working out the other stuff. Are you with me on that? Get back to it. Get back. Therefore, through one man, the first Adam, through his offense, judgment and now condemnation, sin. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift, eternal life, right? The access to the tree of life, to all men, resulting in justification of life. Right? Lost life. Now he gets it back. Verse 19. Here it is. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Look at somebody, tell them God's a gardener. God said, God's a gardener, and we realize that in order to have a successful garden, one, you got to do work, and two, you must be obedient. So what the first Adam lost in Eden through his disobedience, the last Adam restores for us. Not in God, not in Eden, but on Calvary's cross. Everybody point to the cross. This cross, it was there that Christ, through his obedience, restored your access, my access, God, help me. You got to understand, when Adam lost, we all lost. But thanks be to God, the first Adam failed to do it, but the last Adam succeeded where he failed, and by his obedience, we can now come boldly to the throne of grace and find help. Touch somebody and say, I'm on my way back to the garden. Adam kicked me out. Adam lost the keys. But Jesus Christ, my gardener, made a way. And now we have access once again to the tree of life. I told you last Sunday, in John's vision, new heaven, new earth, he said he saw a river coming out of the throne of God, and on either side, the tree of life was planted there. And we now have access. Read it. He said it's there for the healing of the nations. We lost it because of Adam's disobedience. But God gave it back through his son's obedience. Even obedience to death and death on Calvary's cross. Through this message, I'm just trying to invite you back to God's garden. I'm trying to encourage you to let you know that God has a garden for you. There is an Eden. Special place that God has prepared for just you and him. By the preaching of his word, he's calling you back. So come on. Christ has already died. He's already opened up the way. He said, now by your obedience, come back to the garden. Come back to the place where you and I can fellowship. He says, simply trust and obey. That's all you got to do. Your obedience is the key to the garden of God. We'll just obey his word. We can once again enter into Eden. Some people, in an attempt to describe Eden, sometimes they say it was heaven on earth. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To be able to begin to experience heaven now while here on earth. And I'm just trying to tell you, the only thing stopping you, the only thing stopping me, is our obedience. If you obey, he'll bring you back into the garden. He'll bring you into the place where God can start giving you more. He brings you back to a place where he can start showing you what he's got in your ground. We've gone to other people, we've gone to other places and other things, hoping that they could tell us what was in our ground. And taking me a lifetime to come to this, and this is why I want to give it to you, to save you a lifetime. Nobody knows what's in your ground but God. He's the only one who knows. Companion, they don't know. Family, friends, they don't know. I was out the other day. I was at a place having a restaurant, and these people were talking, and I could overhear their conversation. And the one party was just telling the other one, they were like, this is going on. You're a giver, and you're this, and all this other stuff. She was encouraging her and all that type of stuff. And I was just sitting there, and I'm already preparing for the Word of God, and I was like, while she's saying good stuff, encouraging words, the reality, she don't know. She's basing her statements on what she has seen and what she knows of this person's life. How many ever know your friends or family to be wrong? I mean dead wrong. I don't mean a little wrong. I mean way out, because they don't know. And I don't blame them for being wrong. I blame you and us for believing them. Because only God knows what's in our ground. That's why we got to get back to the garden. To let the gardener do what only he can do. So shall we all stand? I hope something's been said out of the message that will encourage you and uplift you. I hope something's been said out of the Word of God that causes you to see your God in a different manner today. Shall we all bow our heads? Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we've had today. That here in this sanctuary, we've been able to encounter you by and through your word again. That here in this sanctuary, we've been able to feel your presence again. And our prayer today is that you don't draw away from us, even though we have drawn away from you. But give us the faith to obey your word, the courage and the conviction to live by your word, so that each day we can get closer to living in the garden of God again. And so, Lord, this morning my prayer for the awaiting congregation is that by their obedience, they would find their way back to the garden of God. And that they would start living and enjoying the life you have for them. Not the life that the world offers. Not the life that the serpent offers. But the life that our God, the gardener, has in store for us. So we come against every work of evil by the tempter. We come against every deception. We come against every lie. We come against every untruth. We stand on the word of God. Because we trust our God, the gardener. We trust in the plans that he has for us. Plans to bless us, and to prosper us, and to give us life more abundantly. And so, Father, I pray for them. Father, I pray not only for them, I pray for those that will be blessed by them. As you cause the glory of your Son to shine and radiate in them and through them and upon them. And they walk through this world with the glorious glow of God. And cause others to be drawn. Others to seek after you. Bless them also. Whether it be their family, whether it be their friends, colleagues, co-workers, neighbors, whoever it is. God, let your blessings be extended. Until the whole world becomes the garden of God. And we'll enjoy access to the tree of life once again. So until that time and the coming of that day, keep us by your power. God, we need you to keep us. We need you to help us. We need you to sustain us. That we can make it till the end. And then receive the hope of our faith. So we thank you. We praise you now. And we give you all the glory. Come on, people of God. Let's give the Lord a praise. Come on, let's bless the gardener this Sunday. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Thank you that I got access. Thank you. I can get back now. There's a way in for me. I can get back in God's garden. I can get back to Eden. God has so much more for me.
That was a powerful word. Thank you, Jesus. But in order to enjoy the garden, that means we got to be saved. Amen. So today, if there is one that has not accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If there is anyone that does not have a church home, I'm inviting you to join this band of believers. I'm going to invite the deacons to come up to the altar as we open up the doors of the church. And if there is someone that's struggling with obeying God, God has given you personal instructions of doing something in your life, and you're having struggle obeying God, I'm going to open up the doors to allow prayer this morning. The altar is open for prayer. If you are struggling in your personal walk with Christ today, you feel like you are far off from God. You know that you are saved. You know that you used to walk, talk with God in the Garden of Eden. But his voice has grown dim and you're having trouble experiencing the fellowship that you once had. I'm inviting you to come to the altar for prayer, to ignite that fire within you once again. Because not only does God desire a relationship with us, but we also have to have a desire to fellowship with him. We have to have a longing for our God to come to the Garden of Eden to fellowship with him, to allow him to speak to our very heart. So if you need prayer this morning, the altar is open for you to come for prayer. Amen. I'm not going to belabor the moment. Amen. But I just pray for each one of us in this new season that we allow the Lord to do a work in us, to ignite that fire in us so that glory will radiate on us and we will draw men to Christ, men and women to Christ. Because the world needs God like never before right now. And if we are the one that is sent to go to that very person and yet we turn away, we have that person's blood on our hands. Amen. So obedience, hallelujah, is better than a sacrifice. Obedience. This is a season of obedience. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. At this time, we're going to transition to our offering and announcements by our sister Cassandra McCoy. Say amen as she comes.
Good morning, church. Can you hear me? It is just my voice. Good morning to Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship and giving. This morning, you can give through text to give, online giving, through our website, Venmo, or by using the U.S. Postal Service. Just a special note, our Cash App, the church's Cash App, is not working at this time. We're working on it. So please do not try to send through Cash App. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check to or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139, Venmo at taylor-tabernacle-6309. For those gathered in sanctuary this morning, you will find two offering baskets over by the side door ramp. You can use that for your tithes and your offering as you leave the sanctuary. The pastor is also asking everyone to give $100 to Turning the Tide during the month of April every Sunday. You can do that through turningthetidephilly.org and press donate now. If you would like to give to our pastor, you can do also by Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. And as always, we thank you for your giving to our church. Straight into our announcements. Every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in person, corporate prayer followed by morning worship at 10. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. That will be on the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th Sundays. Don't forget the pastor's YLE challenge, asking the kids to please have a friend attend Sunday school with them. Wednesday, April 24th, guest preacher Reverend Carolyn, is it Tavenis, will join us for a Bible study. Saturday, April 27th, Turning the Tide Lunch and Learn presentation. That will be held at 12 p.m. at Christ of Calvary, which is right down the street, 500 South 61st Street, at 10 a.m. to noon, and lunch will be provided. That's it for our announcements. Thank you.
At this time, I'm going to allow for the benediction. My Pastor Ford, please stand.
God bless you, Taylor. Thank you once again for your faithfulness. Thank you for your attendance. So great to see so many of your faces again on this Sunday. I do have a couple flyers here for this Saturday's event for Turning Tide. We're going to be down at Pastor Rogers' church. Jermaine is going to be doing that presentation. So I'm really hopeful some of you can attend. Pastor Rogers told me he's gonna have the spread laid out. If you want a continental breakfast and a nice lunch, Pastor Rogers is going to do it up big. Jermaine is going to be presenting. So if you can, please support. I'm going to get some of these flyers out to you. Amen. Other than that, we're in good shape. Everybody all right? Okay. Other than just being sleepy. Lord Jesus, help us. Come on, let's look to heaven. Father in heaven, we thank you. We praise you. We adore you. We honor you. For all that you have done for us, thank you. Thank you for another day of worship. Thank you that you woke us up this morning with a mind to come to the house of God. The mind to give you praise. With the mind to receive the word of God. So bless us now. As we depart from this place, but not from your presence, and cause us to be light and salt in this world. As we go out into this world, into our various places, in our homes, our place of work, places of fellowship, let the light of God shine brightly in us and through us and upon us now. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor. Have a blessed week.